A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. See, the Lord proclaims to the end of the earth, say to daughter Zion, your Savior comes. Here is his reward with him, his recompense before him. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called frequented, a city that is not forsaken. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Titus. Beloved, when the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Verbum Domini. A Merry Christmas to all of you from the Friars here and all of our staff at EWTN, and thank you to all of our viewers and listeners who enabled us to go through another year through God's providence and your prayers and your support that enabled us to continue to proclaim this good news, what the angel proclaimed to those shepherds, good news of great joy, that a Savior has been born for us, for all people. And so that proclamation began that first Christmas Eve night. And every year we continue to proclaim, glory to God in the highest. You see at the every Mass that we have on Sunday, we repeat those words of the multitude of angels, singing the praises of God, glory to God in the highest. And we must continue to do so. If you know the glory, tell the story, is what I heard a priest preach about one time. And that we've all experienced in some way the glory of God. The shepherds were surprised that night when an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them. And he proclaims to them good news of great joy. You see, that's the gigantic secret of the Christian. G.K. Chesterton said, the joy that is ours, a little spark of eternity. Why? Because eternity has come and entered into human history. That he has joined himself, our Lord has, to each of us personally and to all people, to all who would welcome him, that he comes in this defenseless love of God. He comes so that we may not fear to approach him, to welcome him. He comes in such a humble form, as we see depicted in the manger scenes. That was something that became very real to me. And I believe it was around the year 1974. I was in high school, and before our Christmas Eve Mass, we had a dairy farm, so you had to milk those cows twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. And so I was there helping my dad milk the cows. And in the winter in Iowa, where you have some pretty difficult winters and lots of snow and sometimes below zero temperatures, you kept those cows in the barn all night long. And they were quite happy to come into the barn out of the cold, not only because it was a warm place where they could come, but also because you always had some shelled ground corn there in the stanchion. So they would come in, they would go into the stanchions, and there would be some ground corn waiting for them, which they loved. You know, it's very sweet. And so they would come into their stanchions quite readily and happily. And they would be locked in those stanchions for the night. But one of the last things that we would do, and I was doing as my dad was finishing up the milking, was you'd give them some hay for the night in their feeding trough, if you will, in front of them, in their manger, if you will. Because they could chew on that hay all night long and keep them quite content. And so it was that night, perhaps 1974, when it just became very vivid and very real. I can even kind of smell it and see it and experience anew when I reflect upon it. Where it really came home to me, the humility of God, who emptied himself. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, three times he mentions the fact that this newborn infant was laid in a manger. Three times. That Mary lovingly wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And this was done to keep that baby warm, and it was good, seen good for their, just for them. But then she laid him in a manger. And then the angel says to these shepherds that there's going to be a sign for them. There's going to be a sign. This is good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior's been born. And here's the sign. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And so what happens today? Then we continue this story with the Mass of the Shepherds, as it has been called, that the shepherds make haste. You know, Luke tells us that Mary made haste after the Annunciation when she learns about Elizabeth, that she makes haste to go to her cousin Elizabeth. The shepherds make haste to see this which has been revealed to them. And this is regarding the things of God. We always must be ready to hastily go to see the things which the Lord has done and to accomplish that which the Lord has put before us. And so the shepherds make haste. And this is an interesting point too, isn't it? That here they are, they're keeping watch. The shepherds, we're told, were keeping watch. And they're in the night and it's quiet, it's cold. It's like there's no other distractions. And they have this inward preparation to be able to receive this good news of great joy. And that's something for us to consider too. You know, Mother Angelica said that one of her best Christmases was a midnight, they had the midnight mass here in this chapel. And she was sick in the hospital. And the sisters called her on their phone and she could listen to the midnight mass. But then she was alone in that hospital room, alone with Jesus. She was inwardly prepared that she would call it one of the best Christmases of her life. And how her mother too, who was alone at Christmas after she had entered the monastery, Mother Angelica had, what would she do? She'd go in the afternoon to the church and spend the afternoon with Jesus. And I'd encourage you to spend some time with Jesus today. It's a wonderful time to be with family and to share the love that we have for one another and to exchange gifts and so on, which is really, should be at least, a way in which we are expressing the gift that was given to us of the child in Bethlehem. But as Father Leonard, we were talking last night, he said his mother always made a birthday cake for Jesus. That is a reminder to that family, to his family, that it's Jesus' birthday. And let's spend time with him today, reflecting on this great gift. And so these shepherds, that in the midst of these shepherds, the good shepherd is born for us. And Micah, the prophet Micah, had foretold, as the Magi were told, that the prophet Micah had foretold that there was one who is going to shepherd the people Israel, and he would be born in Bethlehem. He'd be from Bethlehem. And so this is all, everything converges to come to pass. And then the shepherds finally arrive there, and what do they find? This sign. They find this sign that all of this is fulfilled. The Messiah that they had longed for had come. And it's quite different, probably, than that glory that had surrounded them when the angel appeared to them. And here it's a very humble circumstance that there's this child in swaddling clothes laid in a manger, laid in a feeding trough for animals. Now, the Gospels themselves don't mention the animals, but they mention a feeding trough. Well, if there's a feeding trough for animals, there's probably animals. And so Christians throughout history have reflected on this, and they saw in Isaiah, the very first chapter of the prophet Isaiah, that this fills in that missing part of what animals were there. And so what did Isaiah prophesy? The ox knows its owner, and the ass its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. So his own received him not. There was no room for him at the inn. But even the animals know, they understand. And so this has been tradition even in St. Francis' time. What does he do when he wants to make this glory more tangible for people? That it would come into their minds and their hearts, the reality of what had really taken place, the humility of God who had emptied himself, being laid in a feeding trough for animals with an ox and an ass. And so he creates that first a Christmas creche. And we are told by the biographers, Thomas of Celano and St. Bonaventure, that hay was brought in. Hay was brought in. And that one of the men, John, who was there, he sees this child come alive in the manger, and Francis holds him. And he said it was really a fulfillment of Francis making him alive again in people's hearts. This child that had been forgotten was now made alive once again in the hearts of men and women. And they even took that hay, and it was used, and it healed sick animals and women who were having difficult pregnancies and other people who were ill, because Mass was celebrated in that holy scene. The Mass was celebrated. Francis had sought the permission of the Pope to do so, and he granted it. And why do we have Christmas creches today? In large part because of that initial creche of St. Francis. But Francis also understood that there's a deep connection between the manger in Bethlehem. What does the word Bethlehem mean? House of bread. What did our Lord say of himself? I am the bread of life. where is this infant laid? In a feeding trough for animals, a manger. That we will be fed with that which makes us truly who we are to be. This divine food that we celebrate in this Mass today, that Francis had celebrated there at that Christmas creche. And Francis, in his first admonition, as I mentioned the other day, he said that just as he had humbled himself in the Virgin's womb, he joined himself to us, he emptied himself. So daily through the hands of a priest, he humbles himself, becoming present on the altar. He becomes our bread, our life-giving bread that we eat so that we may never die. God became man so that man might share in his divine life. That's the good news. That's what Paul wrote to Titus. We heard that beautiful passage today from Titus chapter 3. Beloved. What does the word beloved mean? It means you who are loved. Beloved. When the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us. His very name, Jesus, means Savior. So this is the good news. If you know the glory, tell the story. How do you tell that story to others? Maybe you found just a Christmas card that expressed that truth, that beautiful truth that God has loved us. He's been born for us. I remember being in the choir at St. Paul's in Worthington, Iowa. And Father Loris Odding, who knew German, he sang Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. He sang Silent Night in the original German. And some of the older parishioners probably knew that. They could understand the German, having come from Germany or their ancestors coming from there. That was a way that he prepared. And where did that song come from? A young priest, a Father Joseph Moore, who wrote those beautiful lyrics that has become the most recorded Christmas carol, you know, in history. Others can do other things. I remember my dad would make these little stables for the figurines that he would give to people. Your own particular way that we who know the glory, who've experienced the glory of the Lord in some way, tell that story. Because the story has a power in itself. Why are we so enamored with this story? Because it's the truth that God so loved the world. We are beloved. And his generous love, God our Savior appeared in the babe of Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. So the shepherds, we are told, that when they saw this, they made known the message that had been told to them. That's all we have to do. Tell the story, repeat the story, repeat the words, the song of the angels, glory to God in the highest. This is good news of great joy. And all of us in our own unique way can share that true and lasting and beautiful story.